Thank you, Shannon. I always get so much out of those time with young disciples. You know, I guess because I'm a young disciple. Our scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, reading the first 8 verses. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the word has gotten out that I am going to be finishing up my ministry here at the end of December, and people have been coming up to me and talking to me about it. Some of you have talked to me about it. The reactions are either they're sad, or they're glad, or they're mad. And sometimes it's a little bit of all of those. And the other thing I've noticed is people have been reminding me of things that have happened since I've been here. You know, one of the ones I remember that was such a great thing was getting the spot on live worship on Sunday morning on hometown radio WLNC. That happened in the first year I was here. And we were so excited about that and, you know, kind of amazed, really. But it allowed our ministry here at Trinity to go really throughout Scotland County on live radio, and then go all over the world on the internet and on streaming, and we have listeners in other states every single Sunday. We have listeners, and they text and they call and they tithe. All three of those are important. Hey, it's stewardship season, y'all. Stewardship, right? They tithe. What we've got is, I remember getting on there, and then the thing was we got into COVID, and we had to just have Dan at the sound, me up here, a liturgist, and a piano player, just four people in an empty sanctuary. And I'll never forget the very first one. Everybody had been told to shelter in place, a shelter at home, and here we were ready to do this for an empty sanctuary because it would be on the radio. And who should walk in the back door but Bob Dendy? Bob Dendy, Presbyterian minister over at Scotia. No one was going to tell him he couldn't go to church. And he had a little Scottish vest on and everything, and he sat on the front row, and I thought, okay, you know, if you can make it here, we'll keep on going. So I just remember those kind of things. The other thing that somebody reminded me of, and this is where I'm going to go with the sermon, was about things I have said. And I'm not talking about my stories that I've told, because a lot of y'all remember them, and I don't really like to know that you remember them. and I don't remember that I've told them sometimes, but the phrase that I used to say a lot, and you'll probably remember this, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Do you remember that? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And where I got that was when I was at Wake Forest. Campus Crusade had a tract they would hand out called the Four Spiritual Laws the four spiritual laws tract. And they would hand that out, and that was the first law. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that has resonated with me. And the crazy thing was, being, you know, somebody mentioning that this week, and then having this scripture today from 13th chapter of Mark, and those two things went together in my mind. And I was really, really amazed at how they kind of follows, because every single one of us here, we need to remember those two things. First, God loves you. That's an amazing thing. We take that for granted, but there are plenty of other religions where God hates you. So God ignores you. But God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And there are random things that will happen. And there are things you have free will. You cannot do God's plan. You can just do what you want. But there is that sense of drawing that God has a plan, that God has something for you. And it's easier for me to see him when I look backwards, when I look in the reverse mirror and go, wow, God did that, and I met this person, and all these things happened, and that's just amazing. But that it's not that God has a plan, and God does have a plan for you that takes in all of your talents and your abilities and your history, your experiences. But God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that's important to hang on to. And we can submit to God's plan or not. And I want to advocate here for submitting to it. So I think that we want to go in that direction of joy and peace. That's the direction we want to go in, of the wonderful plan of God. And so our scripture helps us to understand that. And I want you to look at it. First, I need to tell you something about this chapter in Mark, chapter 13. That chapter stands alone in a way by itself, because it's called apocalyptic literature. The whole chapter is about the end times. And it is all about all the things that are going to happen. And apocalyptic literature was something that was all through Jewish history. And, you know, it's in Amos, and it's in Daniel, and it's in a lot of places. But this is Jesus saying it here. And so it's the whole chapter is like that. And you wonder what Mark was trying to say to his people. Because in Mark's day, when he wrote this gospel, the temple was about to fall. Or it was getting close to falling. And some people think it had already fallen because of him writing that. And so, first, the disciples come out of the temple. And remember what happened last week. You know, Scott Miller preached on it. I asked him, I said, did you preach on the widow's mite? And he said, yes. I said, okay, good. So that was the lectionary passage for last week. Do you remember the whole story of the widow's mite? That she came in and gave her last two coins to the temple. That's all she had. And it's a compliment to her and all that. But it points to the failure of the temple. Because the temple, when it was originally constructed about 20 years before Jesus was born, it was supposed to take care of people like her. It was supposed to take care of the widows and those who didn't have any money, because there was no social network for them. There's no social security or anything like that. And so when she gave her last, that's her giving to the temple. But the temple was supposed to be taking in money from people who could afford to give it, and giving it to people like the widow who couldn't afford it. That was the original purpose of that temple. But what did they do with it? They took that money and they built bigger and bigger structures. They put it all into how beautiful it was and how awesome it was. And that structure, you could see it coming in. You could see it from miles and miles away. It looked like a mountain when the sun was setting on. It looked like a snow-covered mountain. That's how big it was. They said the stones, okay, I'll write this down. The stones, individual stones, were 40 feet long by 18 feet wide by 12 feet high. Those are the individual stones it was made of. And even now, the wall, the retaining wall around it, when you see this picture of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, where they're putting little things in there, that's part of it. It's still there. That little piece right there is still that part of that wall. And so it was amazing. It was one of the seven wonders of the world, because it had put all the money that people were giving into making it amazing. And then, you know, you had the buyers and the sellers. You know, Jesus had kicked them out of the temple. And so when Jesus is leaving the temple, which is supposed to be the house of God, right? And Jesus is God, and Jesus is leaving. He's leaving it because it had become, it was supposed to be a house of prayer, and it had become a den of robbers. And so, but the disciples, clueless as usual, they're coming out going, wow, this is awesome, man, look at this, you know. And I don't know, you probably felt that way. I remember the first time I went to New York City and came out on the street and looked up, it was like, ooh, wow. Or going to, I don't know, Washington, D.C. and looking at the monuments. But they were pretty impressed with this temple they were coming out. They were leaving it. And so it says, as he came out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings. And I guess that guy was probably thinking, you know, I'm probably going to say something that Jesus is going to approve of here, like, you know, compliment the temple. But Jesus didn't. And he said, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. He was not impressed. And the reason he was not impressed is because it had ceased to function the way it was supposed to function. And it was just this edifice now that people were using. And so here's the connection with God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We all have these temples. We all have these things inside of us that we have built. And they worked for a while. They protected us for a while. They had a function in our lives for a while. But then they stopped working for us. And by that I mean protect our emotional protections. We can keep people at arm's length. As you're a child, you learn to protect yourself from people hurting you. And so that works. And you can, like, distance yourself mentally from other people and emotionally from other people. And that's your temple. But what happens is it ceases to function as you get older. That it tends to start, instead of protecting you as you get older, it tends to isolate you. It tends to make you feel lonely. It makes you feel like nobody knows me. Nobody would understand me. If they knew me, they would run screaming from the room. And so we put on this charade with each other of being proper, and yet inside, we know we are not that person. And so that our temple is that. Our temple is that part of us that we erect, and it functioned really well to protect us when we were younger, but it doesn't work that way anymore. It protects us from harm, but we're lonely, and nobody knows who we really are. And I think, and this is why I mentioned earlier about going to the fellowship events, because what changed in me and what helped me tear this fortress that I had down was getting into this fellowship at Wake Forest. And I know I mentioned it quite a few times, but that was when it happened. And that's what I think this fellowship can be here, can do for us. Because when I got there, and I'm not blaming anybody for this, but no one really knew me. You know, nobody really asked me about, in high school's that way, nobody really cares. And so when I got there, I kept my mouth shut, believe it or not. And, just kind of went to this fellowship. And it was not until people started asking me, what do you think, Jim? And I'm like, nobody really has asked me what I thought before. Or how do you feel about that, Jim? Nobody really asked me that, how I felt about that before. And so having people who would listen to me tell the truth was a healing thing for me. It allowed me to take those stones that I built up around myself and protecting myself. And it was so hard at first to be vulnerable, because it's a vulnerable feeling to tell who you really are to people. But to be able to take those stones apart one stone at a time, and to say, okay, here's what I feel. Here's what I'm feeling. I remember people laugh about it now, that in the group prayer, we would have a Bible study, a bunch of guys in a dorm room, there'd be like six of us, and we start praying in a circle. My prayer would last like 15 minutes. and everybody felt really like, man, this guy's depressed, he's got issues. But that was loving me. And I don't know if you remember, I don't remember any sermons, but two sermons ago I talked about love, that love is paying attention. That the act of love, love is a verb, is lerv, and it is listening. You can equate love and listening. I mean real listening, like really getting it when somebody's talking. And so this is the thing that fellowship in a community like Trinity can do. It can heal us. It can heal us and give us opportunities to be known. Because what happens is that we really have a hard time talking about ourselves. And in a lot of social situations, nobody wants to know anyway. But in a church, we want to know. We want to hear. We want to love. And that's what we're about when we're fellowshipping. But we don't think anyone would love us if they knew what we were really like. And so I want to just jump over to verse 8 now, because this is key. Because later on, Jesus takes the four that he talks to the most, and they ask him about what he meant about that. And he says in verse 8, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places. There'll be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. And you see that juxtaposition between destruction and birth, right? This is God's plan to destroy this so that birth can happen, so that new things can happen in you. And that can be really amazing if we can do that. It's hard to trust people. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to say those things. We don't believe they'll love us if they know our secrets. And here's another one. I hear this quite a bit. I don't really want to share because I don't want to be a burden, right? I don't want to be a burden to you. And we want to bear each other's burdens. That's what the Christian body of Christ, the Christian fellowship is supposed to be, to bear one another's burdens. And yeah, there are people you shouldn't trust with everything. I'm not saying tell everybody everything. But I am saying to find people that want to listen and share yourself. Share yourself. Tear down that wall that has been keeping people at arm's length for so long. Because if you hide your true self, then you're going to be alone. And people will say they love you, but inside, you know, they don't really love me. They love the act. They don't love the real me. They need to love the real me. I'm going to sing a song. I'm trying to sing songs. I'm not saying I'm going to do it every Sunday, but I always thought I'd do more of my songs that I've written. And this one I wrote about a person. This was kind of after I had healed and gone through this. And we had a college girl join our fellowship. And we got to know her a bit. She had this great smile, beautiful, natural smile. And you're just kind of drawn in by her smiling. And she went home for Christmas that year. She was a freshman. I was a sophomore. And her father died while she was home for Christmas. He had had cancer for quite a while, and he died. And so we all found out about that, and we were waiting in January for her to come back, and we were going to try to love on her. She came back with that same smile. You know, just that smile. And we could not get her to talk about it. She had the smile, and it was pasted on her face, and she was not going to let you know her pain at all. And so thinking about that, I wrote this song. And I've got Dan's going to put the words up here. And if you're at home, the words are in the online bulletin. But it's called Tear the Fortress Down. So carefully crafted in languid elegance, a perfect living sculpture, a bored indifference. You speak words that sound like echoes of what you really feel. You major in minors, in cryptic one-liners, and throw me off the trail. But I can see it in your eyes.
There's more than you can say. Your words become a fortress. They keep us all away. But there's a warm heart beating strong beneath that cold, abrasive shell. And it makes you smile every once in a while, though you hide it all too well. Tear the fortress down. Watch it tumble around you. Let us hear the sound of crumbling stone. Open up your heart. Let the healing start. When the walls come down, just look around. You're not alone. There's a child within. The walls of false pretense. But you're master of the straight arm, the Secretary of Defense. You don't think that we could love you if we knew the things you hide. So you pull down the shade, put on your charade, and lock the child inside. Tear the fortress down. Watch it tumble around you. Let us hear the sound of crumbling stone. Open up your heart. Let the healing start. When the walls come down, just look around. You're not alone. The Prince of Peace has come to break away the chains that bind, to tear apart dividing walls of stone. And I know that as I speak to you, I feel down deep inside, I'm living in a fortress of my own. So together let's sing this song. Tear the fortress down. Watch it tumble around you. Let us hear the sound of crumbling stone. Open up your heart. Let the healing start. When the walls come down, just look around. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone.
So, what is your temple that needs to come down? And I feel like if it falls down when we're in community, when we're talking to each other, and when we're putting ourselves out there to listen to somebody else deeply and honestly, and hearing them and what they're feeling, and loving them. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you love us and that you have a wonderful plan for our lives. We pray that you would give us grace to listen for your plan, to hear you. We pray that you would give us the courage to tear down our own walls, to let people in, to let people know the real us, and give us grace to listen to each other. To listen without judgment, to listen without any kind of condemnation, to listen just with love. Help us to forgive people in our past that have hurt us and caused us to raise these walls. Please don't let those things, those people live rent-free in our heads anymore. But help us to be able to tear our fortresses down. Thank you for the strength in Jesus Christ to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.